Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and a number of other podcast platforms. On the show website, you will also see links to engage through social media, specifically Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Plus, there is even a link there for our Catholic Sports Radio community, which is the Facebook group where you can connect with other listeners of the show as well as some past guests. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Even though there are ultimately opponents with the aim of one coming out on the winning side, we can't view everyone as an opponent. It's important, especially in a team environment, to support one another. If you've ever listened to my other podcast, the one that there's ads for on CatholicSportsRadio.net, I talk a lot on that show about collaboration being the right CO word, not competition. I'm thinking today of someone trying out for, say, a basketball team or a football team. He or she might make the team, but if it's in a reserve role, there might be some resentment towards one or more of the starters. This is where there must be an attitude adjustment. In the New Testament, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, quote, "We must consider how to rouse one another to love and good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this is all the more as you see the day drawing near." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a Canadian tennis professional who has been in the industry for 43 years. He served as director of tennis at the prestigious Arbutus Club in Vancouver for 34 of those years. He has a Tennis Canada Coach 3 and Club Pro 2 certification and has trained all levels of players from red ball through provincial teams. As a competitor, he has won 9 national senior titles and with his brother Tony was part of the top open doubles team in British Columbia for 10 years. He has been selected to represent Canada and British Columbia in numerous events. He also writes a column on sports and faith for the BC Catholic, which is the archdiocesan newspaper in his area. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Pat Mackin.
Thanks for having me on, Bruce. I've listened to the show. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored to be asked to be on.
Glad to have you on. Thank you, Pat, for making time. We went from, I'm pretty sure, having only one guest on from Canada until Matt Hoven became number two just 3 weeks ago, an episode 190, and voila, all of a sudden here we are with another from up north. Pat, lifelong Canadian?
Yes, I was born in Canada. All of us kids were. My mom and my dad were as well, though there's the generation before that was Irish and English. But I've grown up in Canada in the Vancouver area.
Wow, wow. Lifelong Catholic as well, yes?
Yes, I was I've been a cradle Catholic. We attended Catholic schools most of our lives, and I have four siblings, three brothers and a sister, and we primarily went to Catholic schools. And I enjoyed my experiences at the schools.
And are you going to tell me that was generations before you as well, it sounds like?
Yes. As far as the Catholic schools go, I think we were the first one. My mom went to Catholic schools as well. My dad didn't have that opportunity, but they were going to make sure that we got the experience, and I loved it.
So specifically, grades kindergarten through what for Catholic education?
I went right through grade 12. I actually started in grade two. I started in grade one, but then I had to change schools. But yeah, grade one through grade 12, I was in Catholic schools. That was the case for most of us siblings, except the older two graduated from public schools.
Okay, okay. And my gosh, I guess tennis was predestined to be your sport, what with how much it was being played by others on your family tree.
Yeah, my father, my uncle, and my aunt were all number one players in Canada. At one point in time, my aunt and my uncle were number one in the men's and women's, and my dad was number five. And my dad and my uncle played Davis Cup for Canada together. And the three of them were the first, I believe, Canadians to get scholarships to a U.S. school. And they played at William & Mary, College of William & Mary in Virginia. And while they were there, the men's team won two NCAA Division I titles.
Mm.
So, yeah, and my uncle and my dad also won the Canadian Open Doubles Championship, which is now known as the National Bank Open. So, yeah, there was some history there for sure.
So having said that, though, was tennis always your only sport, or did you compete in any others at any point in time?
Oh, I played in a lot of different sports. Like most young guys, I played baseball and I played soccer. I played in Canada. Most people, ironically, will play hockey. I did play some hockey, but I didn't get as serious into it. But I did go fairly far in baseball. But the tennis is what kept drawing us back. And we had so much competition within the family, I didn't need to go far to get practice.
Ah, wow. Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Speaking of your father, he was your first coach for tennis.
Yes. Dad had a unique approach to it, though. First of all, he wasn't like perhaps we might see today some tennis parents who really push too hard. He was very laid back about it. If we did want to play other sports, that was fine. But again, we kept getting drawn to tennis, and Dad really coached us even more in the mental and the tactical aspect of the game. He would have us go up and watch matches with him and figure out patterns of play, tactics, and how to mentally be tough under pressure. So even more than technical, he coached us those things, which I really appreciated because I don't think that gets coached that much anymore.
But I believe he also placed a big emphasis on sportsmanship, good sportsmanship, yes?
Oh, yes. He and my mom, they wouldn't have accepted us acting badly on the court at all. And we learned that we needed to represent whether ourselves, the family name, the club that we were playing for, the province, the country. You always have to think about these things and you have to respect opponents. And I always found it as exciting to win a sportsmanship award as even winning the tournament. And when I was a director of tennis and I would hold tournaments, I would often buy bigger prizes for the sportsmanship winners than even for the winners of the championship.
Wow.
So yeah, it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And what a great example that your dad set. What a great message that he instilled in you, because unfortunately, what happens is the exact opposite of what you just described. Everybody wants the first place trophy, and they almost look at the sportsmanship trophy as sort of a consolation prize, and your dad was there to say anything but.
That's for sure, and you're right about how the sportsmanship trophy is often looked down upon, but I laugh about this, and I don't mean to blow my own horn because, you know, there's always players who've done much more than I have in tennis or in sports. But we won one big event in British Columbia once, and we also, my brother and I, and we also won the sportsmanship award. And one of our big rivals said, "That's just ridiculous. How can you win both of those?" And we just had to laugh about it. But it usually is looked down on. You're absolutely right, Bruce.
On the topic of messages that coaches give their athletes, share with the audience about an individual who has coached tennis players, including Serena Williams, and what you have observed of him.
I mean, he's a very good technical coach, but he had a statement that he had put out there about, I think it was about 9 months, 12 months ago, that there is no such thing, no such behavior. He doesn't look at good or bad behavior. There's no such thing as bad behavior to him. All that matters is behavior and actions that win for his student. There was no such thing as right or wrong. And I thought, well, first of all, that kind of reflects a lot of what we're seeing in society, unfortunately. But I found it was just an awful thing for a coach of that stature. We're speaking here of Patrick Mouratoglou. I thought it was awful to say. So I know on his Facebook, I sent back a message commenting on that, as did a few other people. And he eventually, a week later, so he had to back off a bit. But unfortunately, that is something that we see in sports and in coaching sometimes. It's the, for me, there's five pillars of coaching. There's the technical, the tactical, the physical, the mental, and then there's the character development. And often coaches overlook that aspect.
Well, and there's two things at play here. Number one is these athletes are potential role models for young children who are watching them. And so it segues into number two, which is we do know that sports is a business and there's tickets to be sold, there's sponsorships to be sold, there's TV ratings to be considered. Nobody's spending money to buy tickets to watch someone throw a temper tantrum. They're spending money to buy tickets to watch them because they're an elite tennis player. So that is a lot more vital than I think people are really recognizing. And you're right in, I'm going to say, calling him out for that, because it does send the wrong message.
Well, it does. And I think, and this could go across society in general, not just in sports, that the money aspect, it's that I understand that there's sponsors and that have to make sure they've got the crowds, etc. But you always have to make sure that this is, we have to do our best to try to send a message within our sport that helps create behavior in young people that will help society. And money can't be what's calling the shots all the time.
Yeah, and let's not overlook the fact that we have seen more and more sponsors pull out in recent years when an athlete has done something that is not consistent with the values that they want their company to be associated with. So I think, Pat, you'd agree that we can't underscore enough the importance of good sportsmanship.
To me, there's no doubt about it. There's, I just feel we have to be respecting our opponents. And you said that at the very beginning today, Bruce, that that we have to be working together to grow the game and to help each other become better people. I mean, tennis is only one way in which, or sports is one way in which we help develop personalities, and we all have to do it. And I think that sportsmanship can never, ever be underestimated in my books.
That's right. That's right. Folks, I got an email recently about the world's largest gathering of Christian communicators and ministry professionals, the NRB's 2023 International Christian Media Convention. NRB, that's the National Religious Broadcasters. It's going to be just over in Orlando next May, and they say in the email, "You will meet like-minded industry colleagues, forge valuable new partnerships, and discover solutions for your ministry or organization." That definitely sounds like a good place for Catholic Sports Radio to be, and again, just being over in Orlando, which means I could drive there instead of having to worry about airfare. I did not click through to look at what they're offering for hotel rates, though, only because, unfortunately, I get discouraged thinking about how I could possibly come up with the money to cover the costs associated with either attending or possibly even setting up a display for Catholic Sports Radio at something like that. This is just another example of why I do ask you to look at your tithing and prayerfully consider making my ministry a part of that, which, by the way, can be just a one-time gift. It not only helps me with the bills that I otherwise have to find a way to cover out of my own pocket, since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, but it does also tell me that you enjoy and believe in what I'm doing, and I do hope that you see value in all that I put into this ministry, this calling that I've answered. My aim is to move more people in their faith life through the mix of faith and sports, but as warm and fuzzy as that might sound, it does unfortunately have its share of expenses. So do please consider joining the others, guests and listeners alike, who you've heard me thank in the past, by utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net. That is a fast and easy way to send me something. It even lets you include a little note if you wish. When you use that option, you get to put in whatever amount you wish, whatever you're comfortable with. There's no list of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. It's secure and is a way to help me keep the show going. If you are not comfortable with the online approach, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with details on how to send a check through the mail, as some others have opted to do instead. I would love to continue thanking people. I'm happy to thank by name anyone and everyone who sends a gift, meaning that with your permission, I will happily say your name too. Or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your gifts as a way of tithing and helping me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Pat, let's get back to talking about tennis and specifically a coaching story you have from 6 years ago.
I coach a high school team. It's my old high school, actually, Vancouver College, which is a Catholic elementary and high school. But I coach the high school team, and we were in the provincials, and surprisingly, we had reached the semifinals. And we're playing our arch rivals, which wasn't a Catholic school, but my brother was actually coaching the team. So I'm coaching against my brother in this one. Anyway, and it's a total of 11 matches. So the first one to win six. And we were at five matches apiece in what was quite a surprise. We weren't expected to get close. Mm. The team was playing great. And it came down to the last boys' doubles. In a match that, again, we weren't expected to win, they had a national champion playing for them in that match, and wow, our guys were not at the same level. But we managed to get ahead 5-4, and the matches are only one set. So we're up 4-5, the other team serving. And on the changeover, I came out to talk to them and give them tactics, which you're allowed to do. And as I knelt down in front of them, the Holy Spirit just hit me and said, just ask them to say the Hail Mary with you. Mm. And so I asked them, and they were looking at me for advice, and I just said, we're going to say the Hail Mary together. And so we said it together, and I said nothing more. I said, get out there and let's do it. And they broke serve in the next game, and we won that match and pulled off the upset. So I just last week I saw one of the boys, and he said it's still sticks out as his favorite sports experience in his life.
Wow. Wow. That's tremendous all these years later, because certainly at that moment, they probably followed your wishes, but they probably also scratched their heads and thought, gee, I thought Coach was going to have some real profound tennis wisdom for us, and instead we're going to pray.
Yeah, it wasn't a normal, wasn't something I did very regularly. I like to really delve into the tactical aspect, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, I kind of want to listen.
And was that something that you went back to another time, or was it that was just a moment where you just really felt that presence and said, I'm doing it now. This is not something that I'm going to turn into a regular habit, because obviously there's a reason that I'm being moved to do it this time.
Yeah, it was something that was the first time I'd done it during a match. I'd always make a point of praying before we would start the overall the matches. And I would But after that, there were other times that I did try that. But usually it was just before we would get started, we would pray.
Okay. Okay. Well, on a related note, share with us about the camps that you have run the last 2 years.
Well, in the city I live, which is a suburb of Vancouver, Richmond, I've worked with the city of Richmond to do some camps in the summer for juniors who cannot afford tennis. It's still, in many respects, it's an expensive sport. And it's so I work with the city, and they, through the schools, they identify, especially in some of the lower income areas, they identify the families that and kids who cannot afford it. Many of these may be refugees, or they may be single parent families. There, in some cases, there might be some abuse involved as well. Mm. So I've had an opportunity to work with some of these kids these last couple of years, and it's been very as rewarding for me as it is for them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I sense that you're going to tell me that the quote-unquote pay that you get is the smiles on their faces, the thank yous, the parents maybe as well, and just hearing how much they're getting out of it.
Well, that is big, because they really can't afford much else. And again, it is something I'm not doing for pay. I think it's important that it be understood that these kids deserve a chance to have something that helps build up their self-esteem sometimes. And so I love the smiles that I see from them, and I love the fact that they really would like to even follow up in some way and get more exposure to tennis. So I'm working with the director of tennis at the club I'm at now to try to set up a scholarship fund for some of these kids to come in next year and train during the school year.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Wow. And, you know, sadly, as much as you are giving back with your time and talent, much in the way that I say that that's what I'm doing with this show, there's not enough ministry work like that being done. And I'm sure you do consider it a ministry. What I'm getting at is the point that sadly, there's probably people who are eligible and who are made aware of this that maybe take a step back and say, what's the catch?
Yeah. Oh, they definitely, when I first approached the city of Richmond, they were looking at me and saying, so what do you want to make out of it? Mm. When I said nothing, they kind of said, really? And so it did kind of catch people by surprise, but really, I don't think it's anything that I'm doing anything that's, I've had things done for me in my life, and this is it's nothing beyond what I think it's easy for me to do. It's not a big thing. I feel I'm the one that's getting something out of it, to be honest with you.
Well, and that's something that we do here on a somewhat regular basis on this show, but God bless you for the work that you're doing, because I'm sure that those recipients who are going through those camps are really benefiting, yes, in a tennis way, but I've got to believe that because you're doing it from a Christian foundation, that there's also some real life gains that they're realizing from that too.
Well, that's maybe even more what I'm hoping for, is that it just is a bit of a bright spot in their summer or in their life, and they can build some, I really try to help them build some confidence out of it, and hopefully that'll reflect at school and in the other activities they do. Mm.
Well, surely we were meant to do this interview on the schedule that puts this episode at a release date of October 10th, because 3 days earlier will have been your birthday.
That is true. It is my birthday, and it's also the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, which I've always had a special place in my heart for the Rosary, and it really didn't even hit me until 15 or 20 years ago that my birthday's on that day. But yes, the Rosary always means a lot to me. I try to say it throughout the day, even during when I'm coaching and doing other activities. I try to say it all the time, and I try to put an intention to each decade. So yes, it's got a special place in my heart.
Mother. Wow. Well, we've heard about your dad and the influence he had on you and all that you've done in tennis. You have a story about your mother, though, and her final days.
Yes, it was quite amazing. We were all taking turns looking after her. She had suffered from dementia for a while, and really she was at a point where we knew she was coming near the end. And this was in the middle of the night, and there was another woman in her room, so my wife was actually with her. And she hadn't been able to move her mouth or even really express anything for a few days. And then all of a sudden at 3 in the morning, she grazed out of her bed and started smiling like we hadn't seen for so long, started smiling and softly communicating with somebody. She was looking at somebody and communicating. And after that, she just laid down and died right then. She took her last breath. So my wife, as she relayed this to us, it was very emotional for us that this happened. And, you know, it was wonderful to know that she had that smile on her face at the end.
But so in other words, your wife was there to witness it, but it wasn't your wife that your mother was speaking to.
Oh, no, she wasn't looking at my wife. She was looking up at somebody.
Wow. Wow.
And conversing with somebody. She didn't know my wife was there. She didn't.
That's powerful. Wow. Well, when possible, I'd like to close by having the guests share about their spouse and their children. Although I would love for you to start into this, Pat, by telling the audience about having been dating someone else first and then coming to your eventual wife. But then please do also share with us about how long you've been married and how many children you have.
Yeah, I was dating a girl. This was early in university, and things were going fine. I mean, most people would think there wasn't an issue with it, but she didn't have any faith in her life. And again, I didn't think about it too much. I was still young. And but again, this is another story about the Holy Spirit just hitting me that this isn't who I was meant to be with. God had somebody else planned for me. So, you know, I ultimately broke up, and I think maybe it was a bit of a surprise to her. And anyway, I broke up, and not long after, I met my wife through, again, divine circumstances there. And anyway, here we are 40 years later. We've been married 35 years. We have 6 kids.
Wow.
And we are loving life out here. We're all very close, and we have an amazing life together.
And your children, the age range is what? Because I'm trying to understand if any or all of them or none of them are living at home.
There's 3 out of the 6 at home. They're 32, 30, 28, 24, 21, and 18. So the youngest just graduated last year from high school and is starting university.
Okay.
So the youngest 3 are still at home, and but the others come by and visit quite a bit and enjoy hanging out.
And how many of the 6 play tennis?
It's a good question. They were, generally speaking, they were into basketball when they were young, but number 2, 3, and 5 did get into tennis for high school purposes, but 2 of them have continued on and are teaching pros right now.
Wow.
So we still have, 2 in the tennis industry right now.
But getting back to the story about breaking up and meeting what would be your eventual wife, why do I think that you had told me something that had to do with meeting her, that the Catholic faith played into it as well? Was that, I want to say, am I getting the story right? Was it with her parents?
Well, yes. I just felt from the Holy Spirit that I was meant to meet somebody of faith. And then not long after, I actually had changed parishes and I saw this girl. But she was always around family, and I was really, really shy, and I was just so nervous. So I said, okay, in September when I'm back, because I'd seen her once at UBC, at the university as well. So I said, I'll talk to her in September. And one day I thought, okay, I think she comes in here, I'm going to talk to her. And another girl who I coached tennis to, Yola, called me, and I thought, oh, no, no. And as I'm talking to Yola, I hear a girl say, hi, Yola. And I look over, and it's my future wife. And I thought, wow, she knows Yola. Okay, that's it. So anyway, the fact was when I met Carolyn, started talking to her, I knew that she was Catholic and very deep in her faith. And really, we kind of knew within a very short time that this was meant to be.
But do I have the story right that your being Catholic ended up winning her parents over?
Oh, yeah, because she's from the Philippines, and they actually hadn't lived in Canada that long. And I think they were a little skeptical of her dating a 6'1" Caucasian guy. They would have preferred that perhaps she was dating a Filipino. But the fact that I was a Catholic was a saving grace. I mean, that was what made the difference, that they did accept me. And yeah, they're great. Over the years, they've been great.
So but, cool. So yeah. Cool. Divine intervention, like you said, in bringing the two of you together.
Absolutely. And there's been no looking back.
Well, gosh, in 40 years, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And it's been wonderful having you on the show, Pat. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family.
And I thank you, Bruce. Again, your ministry is great, and good luck and God bless with it.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Folks, as a nod to all of the coaching that Pat has done over the years and continues to do, let's close this week with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, we all want to win. Above the desire to win, teach us to remember our victories toward godly living as we learn to obey you and your word daily. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.